Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. A new exhibit at the Onondaga Historical Museum is opening this Wednesday, July 3rd. It's titled No Place Like Home: The History of Immigration, the Great Migration, and Refugee Resettlement in Syracuse, New York. The exhibit draws in part on the Onondaga Citizens League's newest annual study report on recent refugee resettlement in Syracuse, which is titled The World at Our Doorstep. As part of that effort, some oral histories of refugees were captured on video, and these will be part of the exhibit at the museum. I have two guests today. The first is one of those refugees, Jai Subedi, who currently works as a case manager at the Interfaith Work Center for New Americans and also runs a small business on Syracuse's north side. Jai is a refugee from Bhutan and arrived in Syracuse in 2008. We're also joined by Greg Tripoli, the executive director of the Onondaga Historical Association, which runs the museum. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Greg, let me start with a couple questions for you, and then I'll turn to Jai. Tell me about the origins of this exhibit and what its overall purposes are.
The actual origin of the exhibit was about how immigration really touches so many people here locally. Many of us are just a generation or two away from immigrant. It's a refugee settlement area here is one of the largest refugee settlement communities in the country. And I knew that the Onondaga Citizens League was doing their study. So we thought that we would, sort of do an exhibit where we thought that refugees could see where our community really is made by a foreign-born people. The contributions that they've made to our community are immense. And I thought it might be inspirational, motivational for them to know that they too can make a difference. It's also important for them to know that like me and many other people I know, we're just a generation or two from our ancestors who came here from somewhere else. And they too had a difficult time, but they were able to really make an impact, and they changed this community. And it wasn't so long ago that the German and Irish and Italians were getting a lot of pushback from coming here, taking over the jobs, etc. And now we celebrate them. We celebrate their communities, their neighborhoods. We celebrate them with festivals. We eat in their restaurants, and that too will happen with the communities that are coming here to settle now. So, and it's also to let our community know that that it's a difficult transition for some of these folks to make, and to give them a break and to remind them that not long ago, their parents or grandparents were in the same position.
So you draw parallels then between the recent refugee immigrants and older groups of immigrants. That's interesting. Let me turn that around, though, and say what, in your view, are the biggest differences between the earlier immigrants to Syracuse and the refugee immigrants that have been coming here in recent years?
Well, I think probably the biggest difference is that the immigrants chose to settle here and the refugees are told to settle here. Most of the refugees are forced to leave a home country in circumstances that are in many cases horrific. They're also sort of in this waylaid position of often having to spend a great deal of time in refugee camps, which can also be horrific or almost as horrific. And then, sort of brought to this country and settled somewhere that's really no place of their own choosing. Haven't really had time to make plans, to study a language, to make connections, and are really, they're not left on their own. There are some great agencies here who are doing wonderful work to help resettle these folks. But what I've found is, and very much like Jai, their optimism, their drive, their desire to make a difference, to make a home, to really assimilate in their community and make their community a better place is so inspirational and motivational.
Let me turn to Jai. During the last 10 years, as I read through some of the Citizens League's report, I noticed that the top three countries of origin for refugees coming to Syracuse were, by quite a large margin, Burma, Bhutan, and Somalia. So Bhutan brings me to you. Can you tell me how and why you came to the United States?
It's a long political story.
is about 1990 and before. The Bhutan government is still monarchy, and on top there is a king. So all our values, all our culture, traditions, language, skills were captured by the government. And there was a demonstration in 1990 for the freedom of speech, freedom of language, freedom of right. So right after that, the government started killing the people, forced to leave the country. And even my parents were given 13 days notice to leave the country. So we flew from the Bhutan in 1992, and we came to Nepal and stayed in refugee camp for 18 years. And after being 18 years life in the refugee camp, so we had no solutions. Finally, United States and several other countries, seven countries mostly, opened the door for us. The third country resettlement program is also a long-term solution for the refugees. And I choose, and my family choose, to come to United States. That's why I'm here today.
Were your parents or you involved in the protest activities that the government was clamping down on? How did you get in that category for their attention?
Is very much planned by the government. Even my parents were very innocent. They were not literate, totally 100% illiterate parents. But they categorized the people, even in the family, from F1 to F7. So even if I become a decent citizen of Bhutan, my parents or my father is not. You will be categorized 7. So the son has a right to stay at the country, but the father has to leave the country. So that's how the government played a role to force the people to leave the country.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Greg Tripoli and Jai Subedi, and we're talking about the new exhibit on immigration at the Onondaga Historical Museum. Jai, let me ask a question I asked Greg earlier. How do you see the purpose of the No Place Like Home exhibit? I mean, you're a star in it. How do you see it?
I can't believe Syracuse is become my new home now. I have a home. Now I can see. I bought a home 2 years ago, and I am doing a lot of hard work in the community to fill every people in the community to see their home and build the community as their new home. Because we came from so much trouble, so much violent war, and so much hard life in the refugee camp, and even in the home country, we faced a lot of trouble. So that's why I can say the Syracuse is my home now.
And what's been the most difficult thing for you to adjust to in coming to the United States?
There are so much screening process that United States does for the security reason. Screening process by the Department of Homeland Security, but we passed that test, and we are the decent and we are the innocent people of the Bhutan, so we qualify for the United States.
And what when other refugees and other immigrants and also people who have families that have been living in Syracuse for several generations, when all these different groups come to this exhibit, what do you want them to get from it?
Let's come together and share our culture. Let's know the people who have been coming to Syracuse from long generations as a refugee, as immigrants, and we are the most current people who are coming to this country. And let's come to the common point. That's why we have been celebrating World Refugee Day since 4 years, and our main focus idea is to come together and share our culture and be a united voice for the community to build a better community in this country, in this city, in this state.
And Greg, you mentioned earlier that Syracuse is a big spot for refugee resettlement. And looking at some of the numbers again in the report, I was really struck by this, that it's about a little over 7,000 since 2001. And if you think about the total population of the city, that's a big, you know, that's a big number. So can you tell me how that works? How does Syracuse get chosen in that way?
I think that there are a number of factors that they look at when they choose a city, but certainly Syracuse is one of those cities that otherwise probably would be losing population. It's a community that is a great place to raise a family. It's a community that has a relatively low cost of living. And so, all of those factors come into play when they decide where they went. There are also, some great agencies here. We have mm-hmm. Catholic Charities mm-hmm. and we have Interfaith Works mm-hmm. and other organizations that really work together, work really hard. And I think general consensus is that they do a great job in resettling these folks. But I think that we're also a community that has shown a history of being able to absorb other cultures and rather quickly, and so I'm sure that we have a good record, and so I'm sure that plays a part in it as well.
My guests are Greg Tripoli, the executive director of the Onondaga Historical Association, and Jay Subedi, a relatively recent refugee immigrant to Syracuse, originally from Bhutan. We've been talking about the new exhibit at the Onondaga Historical Museum on the history of immigration in Syracuse. And Greg, let me pick up on that historical aspect of this again. You mentioned before some of the reasons why you folks set up this exhibit and looking at recent refugee immigrants and then connecting them to past immigrant waves. What struck me, though, was how far back this exhibit goes. It's all the way back to the early 19th century, really kind of the beginnings of immigration in Syracuse. So what do we gain by taking such a long historical view there?
Well, I think when you're talking about history, you want to start at the beginning and to show that we are a community that has a long history of immigrant and foreign-born contributions. So it's not something new. It's something that that's been a part of our. I also wanted to show that we are a community that has been built by in large part by foreign-born people. My grandfather came here and helped build the railroad, mm-hmm. And there's been a long history of tremendous contribution, and that's a tradition that continues. I mean, the faces change, the language changes, the reasons why people come here change. But we're still a community that has a long history of absorbing these folks and also of absorbing the culture and making it part of our culture. And I hope that's inspiration for the current refugees to make sure that they maintain that culture here, because it will enrich us in the end.
And Jai, that's a long history for us in the United States. But I'm wondering, does this country to you, does it seem young or does it seem old?
I think I'm still young. I have a lot to do. I just came. It's been like 4.5 years only. So I just started to work, and then I just started to contribute in this community. And as I learned from the long history of the immigrant population came to Syracuse and the United States and contributed to this community and developed the nation. So we want to do the same way, and we want to contribute to the same way in this country.
So what do you think is the best thing about America?
Freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of language, right to do anything, the good work. And I believe the good work is the best in my life.
So that more important than the economic opportunity, or do you see them as somehow linked?
The economic opportunity is directly, proportional to the freedom. When people are freedom, mentally, physically, they can develop and they can contribute for the economic development.
Now, let me put the other side of that question out there, though. So we know what you like about America, but if you could change one thing about the United States, what would you change?
No, I have been already doing. In 4 years, I already became the president of the Butternut Community Police Center, what we are doing. We are changing the face of the neighborhood, and there is a tremendous work that I did in the community. And I have been part of the every neighborhood program, any festivals, any study session, any research program. So eventually we can do it something. We can change.
What is it that you see that you want to change then about Syracuse? What is the change?
I can't predict now, but in the long run we can, I think, change the economic development and bring back a lot of prosperous in this Syracuse.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with Greg Tripoli from the Onondaga Historical Association and Jai Subedi from the Interfaith Works Organization. Greg, you mentioned something about this early on. I wanted to come back to you on it. What have you personally gotten and learned from working with the refugees on this exhibit?
Well, I mean, personally, yes. I think something that everybody can get from it, and that is, you know, that we have no problems in comparison. You know, you're having a bad day or, you know, things aren't going right. And I begin to think really, you know, when you and this happens in many other situations, you put yourself in the position of juxtaposition with you know, someone else, and you think, really, I have no problems. What many of these people went through and what they were able to accomplish. I don't know. I can't say I don't know that I would have it in me. You know, it's really a. I would like to think that I would, and I guess when you're in that position, you draw on powers that you didn't know you had. You do what you need to do in order to survive and to move on. But I look at what they've been through. I look at what they've accomplished when they're here. I look at how badly they want to make a contribution here, and I think I've been in my life incredibly fortunate and lucky, and I guess, you know, meeting them is part of that good fortune and that luck to make me realize and to recognize you know, my good fortune.
And you mentioned earlier as well that one of the main purposes is to give native Syracusans, for lack of a better term, you know, a better appreciation for the immigrant role in Syracuse historically and then also now. So what do you think are the biggest misperceptions that some local citizens have about refugee immigrants that I imagine the exhibit is trying to address in some ways?
Well, they're very similar to the ones that that existed here when other waves of immigrants and refugees came. That they will take the jobs that otherwise would be taken by, you know, the native Syracusans. There's a certain sense of fear that comes from the unknown. You see someone who looks differently, who speaks differently, and you know, as Americans, I think that we have sometimes fallen into a somewhat. We don't speak very many other languages generally. We haven't the experience of living in other cultures. So there's a fear of, you know, this invasion of something that's going to change our Americanism, our American ways, not realizing that in many cases those ways from the very beginning, our Native American inhabitants and the influences that they've had on our culture and how that has impacted us and how that's changed us, but not realizing that, you know, there's a long history of that.
And the optimism that you were speaking about earlier that was one of the things that so inspired you in your experiences with this group. Well, that strikes me, Jai, as a distinctly American thing. Or let me put it this way: it's America at its best. That kind of level. So it's inspiring, Greg. Where do you get it from? Where do you get that degree of optimism from?
As soon as I got in this country, I learned the how Americans work for the other people. And how they walk, how they talk, what is their culture. And I stepped up myself. And I did a lot of work beyond my job. to help the refugee population make sure they will have no problem for the integration. So that's being added to them. So whatever I learned from the American people, I just pass that to the refugee population and the immigrant population so that they can step up. And I myself being a sample for them. So every time I go, every meeting, or even I'm on the show now, so I tell them, just listen, and how American talks about the refugee, how they think about the refugee, and how they feel about the refugee. We should step up and help us ourselves to be integrated and add the values, add the culture, add the diversity in this community.
And you, I'm taking it that you think of yourself as an American at this point. Is that true? Or?
I'm acting as an American. I'm working as an American. Uh-huh. I'm contributing as an American, but I'm not an American citizen yet. I will be citizen by November. And I think I will have more responsibility after that, too.
Well, congratulations in advance on that.
From the refugees that I've met and that I've dealt with here, I can tell you that, you know, they're really the best of American.
Let me get to the three questions at the end and for both of you. Jai, we'll start with you. What's the title of the chapter of life you're currently living?
Hardworking.
Greg?
Oh, gosh, the chapter probably would be how not to get proper balance in your life.
And let me stay with you. What's your worst trait?
Impatience, I guess.
Jai, what's your worst trait?
Transition life.
And finally, Greg, what professional or creative achievement in your life so far has surprised you the most?
I think the fact that I've enjoyed nonprofit work so much, actually, because I come from the for-profit, you know, my background is, you know, business and finance, and it's a, you know, such a for-profit mentality that I would enjoy so much, you know, nonprofit work.
Jai, what surprised you the most?
It's same as Greg, working in the nonprofit world and helping the people for the better life.
Interesting. That was Greg Tripoli and Jai Subedi. The exhibit No Place Like Home opens July 3rd at the Onondaga Historical Museum on Montgomery Street in Syracuse. The Onondaga Citizens League study report, The World at Our Doorstep, can be found at onondagacitizensleague.org. Greg and Jai, thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
I'm Grant Reher. Join me again next week on WRVO Public Media for more conversation in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher. Associate producers include Bethany Wallowender, Kelly Coleman, John Fornoff, Stephanie Lee, Hennish Pullickle, and Sophia Celeste Tate, and recording engineer Tom Fazio. For more information on the Campbell Conversations, visit WRVO.org.